Welcome to Lose Yourself with Dr. Mike Cunningham, Bible teacher in Vineyard, Utah. When we lose ourselves in worldly distractions, we lose our value, our purpose, and our passion in exchange for temporal experiences. But Jesus says that whoever would lose their life for his sake will find it. Let's learn what it means to lose yourself with Dr. Mike.
Welcome to Lose Yourself. I'm Dr. Mike Cunningham, and I'm so glad you could join me for today's program. Lose Yourself is a call to discipleship, inspired by the gospel accounts that state that those who seek their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for Christ's sake will find it. We just finished a series that traces Lent devotions from Isaiah through all four gospels, and I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those episodes. Today, we will conclude this journey with a Holy Week episode. Holy Week brings Lent to a conclusion, and Lent has been a season of reflection, a time set apart for soul-searching and spiritual renewal. As Isaiah did, we have yearned for the coming of the promised Messiah, who was to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. The Gospels witness the unfolding of the promise, following Jesus from the humility of the manger to the triumph of his early ministry. We've seen his miracles, his profound teachings, and his limitless compassion. We felt the tension of Holy Week and the sorrow of Good Friday, and now we are at the dawn of the new light of Easter Sunday. As we enter this threshold of Holy Week, we turn our hearts and minds to Palm Sunday, a day of profound significance in our Christian faith. Marking the commencement of the most sacred week, Palm Sunday heralds the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, an event etched into the sacred narrative of our salvation history and eternally commemorated within the liturgical life of the church. The palm branches, now synonymous with this day, are more than mere foliage. They're emblematic of triumph and victory in Jewish tradition. They signify the recognition of Jesus as the awaited Messiah, whose kingdom, while not of this world, was being honored by the common and hopeful people of his day. The Palm Sunday event is one of the few narratives found in all four Gospels, Matthew 21, 1-11, Mark 11, 1-11, Luke 19, 28-44, and John 12, 12-19. The Gospels narrate his entry into Jerusalem seated on a donkey colt, as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. This highlights the nature of his kingship, gentle and bringing salvation. On Palm Sunday, we are reminded of the paradox of Christ's kingdom. One humble, yet triumphant. Earthly, yet divine. As we waved our palms and echoed the cries of Hosanna, it prepared our hearts for the solemnness of the Holy Week that comes ahead. It's a journey from celebration through suffering to ultimate redemption. And it's a reminder the same crowds that praised him and welcomed him cursed and crucified him in a few short days. The next event in Holy Week is Maundy Thursday. Maundy being translated from the words command or mandate, which talks about Christ's new command to his disciples to love one another as he's loved them. This day commemorates two of the most pivotal events in Christian theology, the Last Supper and the washing of the disciples' feet. According to the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, Jesus demonstrates the Lord's Supper during a meal that he has with his disciples. By blessing and distributing the bread and the wine, he demonstrates the symbolism of his coming sacrifice for our sins and foreshadowing his impending sacrifice on the cross for the salvation of humanity and establishing a new covenant between God and his people. This ordinance is celebrated to this very day worldwide in different Christian churches, and it is a beautiful reminder of what Christ did for us on the cross. Another critical aspect of Maundy Thursday is the ceremonial washing of feet, mirroring Jesus' actions during the Last Supper. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he set a powerful example of humility and service. This act is extraordinary in its simplicity and depth, and it underscores the virtues of servanthood and love that Jesus taught. The essence of Maundy Thursday embodies the heart of the gospel, the message of unconditional love, and the service to one another. It serves as a powerful invitation to live out the commandment of love that Jesus laid down for his followers, marking the journey to Easter with deep reflection, humility, and gratitude for the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. The next day, we celebrate Good Friday. On Good Friday, we solemnly recall the death of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, his selfless act, despite having lived a perfect, unblemished life, bears profound meaning to Christians. His death was not a defeat, it was victory over sin, a redemptive act for the sake of humankind. From the earliest days of Christianity, Good Friday was observed as a day filled with sorrow, reflections, penance, and fasting. The observance of Good Friday is significant not only because of the events it commemorates, but also due to the profound influence on the understanding of Christ's mission. Indeed, the death of Christ on Good Friday underscores the immeasurable love of God for humanity, a selfless sacrifice that provides believers a pathway to salvation. Although it seems paradoxical, the term Good Friday indicates the ultimate good that came from Christ's sacrifice, the chance of redemption and reconciliation with God. Despite the suffering and death it commemorates, Good Friday is good because it signals the most profound act of love and sacrifice, laying down one's life for the salvation of many. So, Good Friday reminds us of God's boundless love for humanity and the lengths he would go to save us. As we reflect on these profound truths, let's begin to appreciate the significance of Christ's sacrifice and live in the salvation it brings. Very often, Good Friday services will end in a time of solemnness, and the service will be left unfinished. There's no resolution, and people often leave in silence, contemplating what Christ has done. Much in the same way that Christ's followers would have left that cross in a sense of hopelessness or confusion or sadness or grief. Christians a lot of times emulate those emotions over the course of the weekend leading to the Resurrection Sunday. So that day is a time of celebration for the empty tomb. If you've never been to a Good Friday service like that, it's a powerful opportunity to really consider Christ's sacrifice and appreciate all of the things that led to this moment and how Christ was willing to do that on our behalf. But friend, of course, that is not the end. Everything of the last 40 plus days now leads to Resurrection Sunday, a time of preparation where we have come to know Christ in a deeper way so that we can appreciate what he has done. But again, Friday was not everything. That wasn't it. It wasn't the end. The triumph of the resurrection is the single most important aspect of this whole season. Jesus was more than a good man. Many good men have died. Many good people have sacrificed themselves. Many good people have lived pretty virtuous lives, although not sinless like Christ. But the key difference is the divinity of Christ and the power to conquer death and hell. Lent started off as a season of reflection, a time set apart for soul-searching and spiritual renewal. Starting in Isaiah, we yearned for the coming of the promised Messiah, the one who was to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. We then moved through all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the unfolding of his promise, following Jesus from the humility of the manger to the triumph of his earthly ministry. We've seen his miracles, his profound teachings, his limitless compassion, and we've felt the tension of Holy Week, the sorrow of Good Friday, and now it's time for the dawn of new light for Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Easter marks more than a historical event. It embodies the very pulse of Christian hope. The grave could not contain Christ. Death could not defeat him. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay," Matthew 28:6. The stone rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in, to show us that death has lost its sting. The tomb is empty, and the promise of new life is fulfilled. The reaction of the women at the tomb, the awe of the disciples, the transformation of every believer since, these all bear witness to the power of the resurrection. It compels us not to have awe, but to have action. Our observance of Lent, our engagement with Scripture, must give way to the proclamation and the living out of the gospel. Just as the angels instructed the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples," so we are charged to share the good news. Resurrection isn't simply a truth to be believed, but a reality to be lived and proclaimed. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The resurrection life is one that pulses with hope. We are a people transformed, no longer captives to sin, but liberated to serve with joy. As Christ's hands and feet in the world today, we are to mirror his love, his grace, and his mercy. The resurrection guarantees a promise that stretches beyond the here and now. It casts its light upon the horizon of eternity, assuring us of life with our Savior forever. We who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So as we wind down this series, let's remember that each step we take from here on out is a step taken in the newness of life that Easter represents. May we carry the light of Christ out into the world, proclaiming through our words and deeds the joyous news, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Friend, this has been a journey that we have been on for the last 40 plus days. It has been a time for us to consider the prophecies fulfilled, the teaching and earthly ministry of Christ, the miracles performed, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and all of the things that that means for us as Christians. This season, let us take these events to heart. Let us live our faith. Let us embrace the gospel, whether for the first time or whether we are becoming more serious in our faith. This is a time to reflect, renew, and allow God to transform our lives. I leave you with a couple of quotes. The first from John Stott. Our concern as followers of Christ is neither with a religion called Christianity, nor with a culture called Western civilization, but with a person, Jesus of Nazareth, the one and only God-man who lived a perfect life of love, died on the cross for our sins, bearing in his own person the condemnation that we deserve, was raised in triumph from the grave, and is now alive, accessible, and available to us through the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham adds, the resurrection meant first that Christ was undeniably God. He was what he claimed to be. Christ was deity in the flesh. Charles Spurgeon adds, the heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. So friend, today I hope that this season has found you well. I hope this season has been meaningful for you, but please do not miss the point. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offered to you today, my friend. Those who believe in Christ, those who receive his grace, live eternally and begin a new life in him. My friend, I hope that this season finds you well. I hope that this will allow you to come to faith or embrace your faith, live with hope, and ask yourself, who's close to you but far from God? Share the good news with your life and your testimony. So as we sign off today, I wish you a happy Resurrection Sunday. I thank you for going on this journey with me, and I look forward to the new series that we begin starting next week on the book of Jude. We're going to get back to week-to-week Bible study, going straight through a book, because Scripture is an important foundation in our discipleship process, and I want to encourage you in that discipline. Just remember to take one day at a time, seek God through Scriptures, your personal disciplines, your prayer life, and make sure you're a faithful member of a local church, and God will help develop you into the disciple that he created you to be. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you on the next episode of Lose Yourself.
This has been Lose Yourself. Lose Yourself is a teaching ministry of Bible teacher Dr. Mike Cunningham. For more information about Mike and his ministry, check out his blog at loseyourself.life. Until next time, make it your ambition to lose yourself to Christ. Lose Yourself is a production of Key Radio.